Welcome to CRE Radio with Howard Klein, radio for and about the commercial real estate professional. Our focus is exploring issues facing landlords and tenants, property and asset managers, investors, brokers, lenders, and everyone in the industry. Our style is conversation over coffee with highly experienced commercial real estate professionals. Over 35 years, Howard's legal and commercial real estate practice has centered on broker, leasing, and property management issues. CRE Radio is presented with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our audience. Access our archive shows, upcoming schedule, and engaging articles at creradio.com or subscribe to the show on iTunes by searching for CRE Radio. And now, here's Howard Klein.
Oh, I love that music. Welcome to CRE Radio, and today's topic and the show is going to be, what can a PR firm do for CRE professionals and companies? I think I could have put some more, what's the term I'm looking for? There you go. Well, why don't we kind of move on? Our featured guests are Susan Evans, Tina Cassidy, and Lisa Hoyt. Before we go any further, let me let everybody know that our call-in number is 619-393-6492. That's 619-393-6492. Press 1 to talk or ask a question. If you want to reach us on Twitter, please go to the @CRE Radio. We have often an ongoing conversation on Twitter. And if you go to our website for this particular show, you can leave comments at creradio.com/PR. So, ladies, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Well, great.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, it is absolutely my pleasure. I know there was someone else there, but we will actually get to introduce each and every one of you. So let me start out with, in no particular order, let me spin the dial here, Lisa Hoyt. Lisa, why don't you take about 30 seconds and tell us who you are, what is the name of your company, which I know, and what you do.
Well, good morning. This is Lisa Hoyt. I am the president of the Hoyt Organization. We are a B2B public relations firm. We're actually based in the Los Angeles area, and we are known specifically in the real estate industry. The agency is over 20 years old, and we have done programs on a national basis for brokers, developers, architects, financial guys, almost anybody that would touch the real estate market our teams have worked with, and that sort of covers it in a short introduction. There you go.
And Tina, why don't you tell us the name of your firm? And by the way, Tina's last name is Tina Cassidy. The name of your firm and what specifically your firm does.
Yes, my firm is called Ink House Media and Marketing, and we're based in the Boston area. We are a public relations and social content company, so we take a little bit more of a progressive PR approach to our real estate public relations, in that we sort of start by figuring out what the stories are to tell for a client and then finding all the various channels to tell those stories. Traditional media is often a primary channel, but of course today you have social channels and online syndication and so forth. So that's what we do.
Great. Thank you very much, Tina. And Susan Evans. Susan, why don't you fill us in?
Thank you. Susan Evans. My firm is Evans Larson, and we like to say we're legal. We just turned 21 this year. We're a full-service marketing, public relations, and social media company. We partner with all of our clients, who range from developers and architects to healthcare, retail centers across the country, nonprofits, lifestyle companies, and we work with them to develop content that matches their business strategy, and then we push those out over multiple channels, traditional media, social media. We work with them on internal communications, digital strategies, sort of help them publish what they need to get out to their audiences.
Well, thank you very much, Susan. Ladies, thank you for being on the show. Let me just give a brief description of what inspired me about doing this show was that we have dealt with Lisa's firm, and it just seemed to me that a lot of people don't even know what a PR firm does or what its purpose is. Or maybe I should start out by saying I didn't fully understand, nor am I sure that I do understand right now. So this show is really going to be filling in those gaps and trying to explain what a PR firm can do for commercial real estate companies and what the process is and perhaps what the questions that the clients should be asking. So why don't we start out with the first question, which is, why should a commercial real estate company or person consider a PR firm? And why don't we start out with Susan, since I introduced her last?
A few reasons why they would want to consider a PR firm. If they are looking to lease properties, PR firms can help find the right channels to reach those audiences. Or if they've got properties where they've bought something, they plan on renovating a property, if they are in urban planning and they want to share the news, we really help them present themselves to the audiences, getting core messages out, making sure that people understand who they are in the community, the benefits they bring with the projects that they're doing, and how they will continue to be a leader in the area that they're developing.
Tina and Lisa, feel free to join in on the conversation. You know, you don't have to wait for me to tell you to join in. Tina, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, sure. I would say that for, the commercial real estate world is so vast. There are so many different aspects of it, but you can essentially boil down their PR needs into two buckets, and it would either be to help you raise your visibility or to protect the company or the investments or the assets. So just an example of this is, let's say you are a developer and you're working in the community process to get a project approved. You might consider doing public relations to develop a community relations strategy so that you're working with the neighbors instead of upsetting the neighbors and slowing down your project. On the flip side, if you are looking to raise your visibility, and as Susan mentioned, perhaps, you know, lease out a building more quickly or make sure that brokers are bringing you more deals so that you can buy or sell assets. You need to be as visible as possible to do that, and public relations can help.
And Lisa, you're dragging up the rear here, not intentionally.
I've been told that more than once. Well, I just wanted to point something out. You're talking about why should commercial real estate hire a PR firm. I think we need to be careful with that definition because, as you can tell from the three of us already, public relations in today's environment has changed. And usually when a real estate company is coming in to take a look at what we can do for them, what they're doing is coming to us with a challenge. It may be a building that they need to open. It may be an ownership transition that they're facing. So they're not saying, gee, I need a PR program. What they're saying to us is, we have a challenge that we're looking at, or we need to build our visibility. How do we do that? And I think public relations in today's environment is well beyond what most people know of as traditional media relations. It could be messaging. It could be an integrated digital campaign. It could be a combination of special events and an e-blast outreach. It could be social media. It could be a combination of all of those. So I think when commercial real estate companies look at how they do their outreach, it's not only public relations. And one of the examples that I like to point to is we had an architectural firm that was going through an ownership transition. So they're very traditional in how they do their communications, but they wanted to communicate this. when we sat down to do the initial brain dump and the brainstorming, we talked about doing everything from banners on the side of their headquarters with the new faces of the company. So it became a new faces campaign. Well, that has outreach in not only digital but traditional and visual. We got the city to put up banners on the new faces in the firm so that the ownership transition becomes visual and tactical, not just informational and media oriented. So I think there's a today's environment is much, much different than it was even 5 years ago.
That's a great point. And when we come back, I want the rest of the show, we'll delve into very deeply the sophistication and the thought process that public relations firms are now dealing with, that it's just not a simple thing that many of us in commercial real estate will understand. And this is one of the things that I've learned in preparing for the show. So right now, we're discussing selecting the right public relations firm with our guests Lisa Hoyt, Susan Evans, and Tina Cassidy here on CRE Radio, and we'll be right back.
The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the dead simple, best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockcre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. See for yourself. Log on to blockscre.com.
For questions, feedback, or topics you'd like to hear about, you can reach us on our website. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@creradio.com. Or call in during the live show at 619 area 393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue.
Hey, we are back. What a surprise. Our guests today are Lisa Hoyt, CEO at the Hoyt Organization, Susan Larson, CEO at Larson Evans, and Tina Cassidy, Senior Vice President, Chief Content Officer at the Ink House. Susan, is this Susan Evans,
yep,
or Susan Larson?
Susan Evans.
That's what I thought.
Although Larson was from my grandfather.
So yeah,
it was a nod to my grandpa.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a little black mark from my producer, who wrote it wrong on my notes. So as he's sitting there, he's listening to this and turning red. we're talking. I want to get into the real meat and potatoes of what PR firms really do. And one of the questions I had was, when a client comes to you, do they always know why they're talking to you? And what do you do to try to determine that? Tina, why don't we go with you?
Sure. Well, I think it was well said earlier in the conversation that clients typically come to a PR firm with a challenge. They know they have a problem. They just don't know what to do about it. So I think that the first, you know, beyond that, the first thing that we typically do when we meet with a potential client to figure out what their business strategy is. So they may even say, oh, we have a problem with a building, or we have a problem with a neighborhood, or we have a problem with the mayor. And those are probably their immediate needs and the trigger point that made them come to us. But, you know, we will typically try to dig deeper and try to determine what their overarching business strategy is. So, you know, perhaps there's a relationship with the mayor that we could use to intervene or to help solve a problem. But what's your bigger goal? Are you trying to, triple the number of units you're building in a particular city? Because that will obviously impact the strategy. It's really not just about the one-off issue or problem. And for some developers, it might be that they need to lease up their buildings more quickly. And so it's not just about this one address in a bad neighborhood. It's systemic. So with everybody, it's a little bit different. So we have those conversations. And I think sometimes they don't even realize that public relations could help them with all of those things, but it certainly can.
Well, isn't that part of the experience and skill, Lisa, is that sometimes people will come to you, and while they think they have a particular problem, in order for you to solve the problem, you have to really know what their problem is. And how do you handle that? Because they may know that they have a problem, but if they don't know, you're almost like a therapist, aren't you?
Hey, we're in real estate. Absolutely. It's part of the job. You know? That's where we get all of our money, you know, from being a therapist. First, I want to back up a little because you're using the word problem. And I think those who are in this industry, as firms evolve and move forward, it's not necessarily a problem per se, although crisis communication is certainly something that we've developed an expertise in. We all have teenagers, so we all know what that's all about. I think in reality, they're real estate companies that are simply moving forward, and so they need to look at certain challenges that they're faced with. It may be an ownership transition. It could be a building that's part of their portfolio, and they're facing a neighborhood backlash. So I want to be careful with using the word problem because it has a negative connotation, and I think a lot of what we deal with are just how companies actually move forward in their businesses, and this is the challenge du jour. But yes, you are correct. A lot of the companies will come to us and say, here's the next evolution that we're facing, or here's the next project that we're working on, and I think I need X, Y, and Z. In reality, one of the things that we do that's critical is we sit down and figure out what they think they're facing and poke holes and brainstorm it with it, because often it may be a very, very different challenge.
I couldn't agree with you more. As a matter of fact, Susan, I'm not sure if you want to discuss this, but I thought that the proper reference for a PR firm should not be using firm, but to say PR partner. Go ahead.
Yeah, I would say I think Tina and Lisa really touched on that you go in and you talk with a client and you become a partner with them because you need to know their business strategy, what their goals are, what they want to accomplish, and then take those, and that starts to develop the message. As Lisa said, often they'll say, we had a client come to us and say, we would like to be in the paper because we're renting apartments out to young people. And we said, that's great, but young people don't read the paper anymore. You know, and so then they were like, well, we don't know what to do then. So we started walking.
So familiar.
Yeah. So there's an education for the industry of there's a digital channel, there's a social channel, and because for CRE, you've got, commercial properties. We've got some clients that have commercial properties and are now going into residential, depending on who they're targeting, what they're doing, where they are in the city. You have very hyper-local media to look at. You have very hyper-local community programs, and there are outreach because things are, neighborhood programs versus larger civic programs. And depending on what they're doing and where they're building or leasing or renovating often depends on the solution that we give them, and that is all ties back to their business strategy and who they are as a company, because they want to be in that market and respected for quite a while. So we always keep that in mind. Well, as Lisa said, the evolution of as they go forward is a big part of it.
Part of that challenge is identifying who the media is in today's market, because Susan mentioned figuring out what the local media was. Well, some of the people that we're working with now are not even traditional reporters. so when you get into identifying who can communicate your message, are you actually dealing with bloggers? Are you dealing with a whole host of other people that you need to take into consideration? One of the things that we're challenged with now is when we do an event, how do you qualify credentialed media? Because if you've got a whole host of bloggers who have an excess of 1,000 followers, is that the benchmark that you want to follow to allow that blogger into a very expensive event, for example, for free, if they're not actually considered traditional credentialed media? And by and large, in the commercial real estate industry, there's not a lot of cognizant awareness of the additional channels that are out there that go well beyond what traditional media would be.
Well, that's so true. And this is Tina, if I could just add one layer to that, it's that, you know, it's one reason why a lot of clients more and more are saying, let's just bypass the media altogether. There are so many channels for us to tell our own story. So, you know, that can be through a fabulous website. That can be through growing your social channels, not just by promoting yourself through those channels, but by having a point of view about your industry or your geography. You know, you really do have to provide value to draw people in to pay attention to you. It's not really about putting press releases out over Twitter. And I think, you know, the way the media landscape has changed, as was just said, you know, it's changing exponentially every day. And I was a journalist myself for 20 years before doing public relations. So, you know, I'm watching former colleagues, you know, drop like flies every day.
We're hiring them.
Yes, exactly. And we are hiring them, too. And it's wonderful because there is there's more brand journalism happening now. So, you know, this extends well beyond commercial real estate, but, you know, major brands like GE and Johnson & Johnson are, you know, starting up their own news sites, and you can't really even tell. The naked eye can't even tell that this is brand journalism. It's meant to engage and inform. So there's so much new that's happening. So when clients say, oh, I don't know if I want to talk to the press, sometimes we say, it's okay. You know, if it's not appropriate in this situation, there are lots of other things that can be done for you to distinguish yourself, and, you know, whether it's through a blog or whatever, I mean, that all helps with search engine optimization, too. So when a potential renter or, you know, broker is just doing a basic Google search, your company's name is going to come up first.
Well, I'm going to have to interrupt us and take a few moments to hear from our sponsors. When we come back, there are a whole bunch of things that the three of you were just talking about that I'd like to at least mention, one of which is the concept of brand journalism. I'd like to get into that in a few moments.
What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site. PopUpInsider.com.
Manage a shopping center? Always looking for new ideas? Tactics. Tactics Magazine is the idea magazine for shopping center marketing directors all over the world. Exciting promotions, gift with purchase programs, and full-blown ad campaigns. Every edition of Tactics is packed with features, ideas, and news you can use to get the word out and grow your numbers. How can you manage a shopping center without your tactics? Log on to tacticsmagazine.com. Today would be good. tacticsmagazine.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or via email to questions@CREradio.com.
And we are back again. Welcome back to CRE Radio. When we last spoke, we were talking about brand journalism. And I want to make sure that I understand exactly what you mean by brand journalism, because this sounds like something that I've been doing since the beginning of time, when I first started practicing law. Lawyers could not advertise, and that's changed over the last 20 years approximately. What we used to do, and I still do, and as a matter of fact, I think CRE Radio is to a great extent an example of it. I used to write articles for the business journals, for legal journals, for magazines, and I used to tell stories. And that is that what you mean by brand journalism? I forgot who we left off with. I think it was Tina. So why don't we start with Lisa? What are your thoughts?
Absolutely not, although I don't want to overlook the fact that you're talking about something that has become very critical in today's environment, and that's the content development. So one of the things that's happening with all the channels that are out there today is that the content development is becoming more and more critical, and I would lay odds that Susan and Tina have run into this. They have a client that comes to them with a project, and they say, well, you guys could just blast it out into all the channels, and then I'm going to hire a college student to really help me penetrate social media and write all this stuff. And the reality of it is the content that's being generated by those who don't really have a true in-depth knowledge of the industry itself, nobody wants to put their eyeballs on it. So it doesn't exactly address the brand issue that you're talking about, but I think content generation is just now becoming critical in the industry overall. I think people have there for the last couple of years with the advent of social media, there's been a movement to, oh my gosh, you can just put it out there and everybody will see it. And now there's a backlash. In fact, one of the major digital real estate news outlets just unveiled a whole industry thought leader channel because they've discovered that while social media has done everything in little snippets, that there is a need in the commercial real estate industry to have articles, information, and thought process in a little bit of a longer format that has more of the analytics in it.
Okay, let me just step back a second. What do you mean by analytics?
People in the real estate industry do want more in-depth content, but I don't want to ignore the brand issue that you were just talking about.
We'll get back to that, because everything that I'm hearing from you right now makes me feel good. because
it's telling me that the people in the real estate industry are not superficial. They actually want to know that when the mortgage rates go up or down, what are the movements? They want to know when they're doing a transaction, that's indicative of a trend and what is the trend. One of the things that we're very concerned about is with the shutdown of the government. We've got an economist that's one of our clients. Okay, well, he relies on some of the unemployment figures, the housing starts, to analyze the data that the real estate industry relies on when they make predictions and decisions on where to move their companies. So what's going to happen with that, and how's that going to impact our industry? And then we, as the PR marketing firms, choose to take those nuggets and push them out into the market so that they can share it with the industry. So actually what it tells you is the real estate industry is pretty philanthropic in terms of sharing the intel.
Sure, mm-hmm. Sure. You're still telling
Howard,
me.
I would just add,
still telling me very good stuff. You're making me feel good.
Howard, the scenario that you were describing, where you personally were writing articles, and even the fact that you host this radio show, I guess I would consider that more thought leadership, where you have a point of view or you have expertise that you are sharing with people. Brand journalism is just, it's different. It's a little bit more like being a complete news outlet, a news site,
yes.
Where you're bringing together many different voices.
Oh,
so
okay.
That might be, you know, video segments and bylines, and have its own social channels and everything else, lots of different voices coming together from different perspectives. Like you could have doctors and nurses and patients all contributing to a medical site that Kaiser owns. I'm just making that up. But that would be the difference.
Kind of like an aggregator.
That's, Yeah. I mean, there are sites that are just aggregators too. There's software out there that allows you to curate relevant content if you wanted your own website to have sort of a corner that curated industry news.
Go ahead.
Susan, I would say what Tina and Lisa are saying, all of that fits under the public relations umbrella. So when clients come to us and say, this is what I need, we look at them and say, okay, we can help you with expertise and thought leadership and getting information out on your company. And that goes to traditional and some non-traditional channels. But there are a lot of good pieces of information that simply aren't quote-unquote news for trade or consumer media. And I think that's where we start to look at how can we use brand journalism. And essentially, as Tina said, these organizations can now self-publish what they want and tap into expertise in the industry and get that out there as well so they can become their own thought leadership and have their own channel for that they essentially publish themselves. And that is new to commercial real estate, and at first, oftentimes it's very heady control for clients, and we have to rein them in a little bit because they are out there publishing and representing themselves, and so we want it to be in a manner that reflects who the company is and what they're doing. But then we also dovetail that with traditional media, thought leadership pieces, on radio, on TV, in newspapers and magazines.
Well, and Susan, that brings up a good point, because one of the things that we face that I know will ring a bell with both of you is that often we'll get a client that says, well, just tell everybody about fill in the blank. And what we do is tell them, let's back up and see what the messaging should be for you so that all of your executives are describing the company in the same way and that you're actually taking advantage of all the time and effort that you were going to put into these programs so that you're getting the maximum amount of bang for your buck.
Yeah, it goes back to what Tina said on SEO. If you are publishing, if you're doing self-publishing and brand journalism, as well as releases, as well as articles, you want these to all sound the same. You want this so your voice and brand is out there in a unified way.
Well, that's going to be an interesting topic that we're going to get to right after this break, because we really do need to talk about how you capitalize upon the people in your company to do a lot of the public relations. So why don't we take a short break and then we'll get back to that issue.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to ProspectNow.com and enter the promotion code Howard.
That's ProspectNow.com.
Commercial brokers spend more time selling and less time organizing with Building Blocks CRE. Built by brokers, for brokers, Building Blocks CRE is the best business organizer out there. Set up and learn in minutes. Track deals, contacts, listings, and more. Easier than ever before. Right now, save 10% when you visit blockscre.com. Use promo code Howard. Remember, Building Blocks CRE. Easy to learn, easy to use. Log on to blockscre.com.
For questions, feedback, or topics you'd like to hear about, you can reach us on our website. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@CREradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619 area 393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue.
We're back with our guests, Susan Evans, Tina Cassidy, and Lisa Hoyt. Glad to have you with us. When we last, before the break, we were talking briefly about the idea of bringing in some of the company's own people to do some of the PR. Now, this has got to be a concept where, I mean, we had briefly mentioned earlier in the show, I think it was Lisa who said how things have changed so much for PR. This has got to be one of the biggest changes. So, Susan, why don't you tell us a little bit about the hurdles that you have to overcome in getting, for instance, a brokerage company to use its own salespeople to sell and do PR?
I think, back up a little bit, how we do it is work with the company and say, who's got some expertise in a particular area you want to push, and then what we do is interview them, and either interview them on for a video, or we'll write up a Q&A and publish that to either their Facebook page or their website, or if they have a blog, and handle that for them so we can oversee all of the areas where we all have chosen to publish information and get information out on the company, the event, the special event, whatever it is. So there's one voice representing the company. Because we also recognize that these are professionals who have jobs to do, and we want to make sure that we help them get the word out on whatever it is they want to talk about, but they don't have to do it. So oftentimes we'll interview and help and guide them and then take care of the rest. So it's a short commitment from them. They basically talk about what they're doing, what's going on in the industry, any commentaries regionally or nationally, things they see going on, and then we take that and essentially package it for them.
Tina, what are your thoughts?
Well, one of the things that that we do, it's very similar, but we, you know, we talked about the strategy piece and how we're always trying to be aligned with our client strategy, and almost always it's to help them grow somehow. When you mentioned salespeople, you know, we work with commercial brokers, for example, and it's a highly competitive business. For them, it's all about nurturing relationships and staying in front of potential deals. So we spend a lot of time teaching our clients how to use LinkedIn for lead generation and how to use content for that purpose. And, you know, Twitter and Facebook can be really important for brands and sometimes for individuals if those people are thought leaders. But I would say that LinkedIn is probably the most underrated tool when it comes for lead generation, especially in the commercial real estate business. I think that lots of people are kind of stuck in the e-blast mode and saying, you know, just sort of pushing out transactions and things like that, that people kind of tune out, that everyone's just overwhelmed with email, and LinkedIn can be a really great way to cut through that and be more personal and more handcrafted in your outreach. It can be much more effective.
Well, let's talk a moment about LinkedIn. How do you use that for prospecting?
Well, I think you have to have content first. I mean, first you need to build your LinkedIn profile and contacts. You know, I remember I had an actual Rolodex on my desk for many years, and then at some point I was like, I don't even know what to do with this anymore, and I kept it because it's like an artifact. Who even has a Rolodex? What do you do with it? Everyone's so mobile these days, and you know, people move around so quickly, it's impossible to stay in touch. But that's the great thing about LinkedIn. You meet somebody, connect with them that way. And then, you know, as I said, we create a lot of content for our clients, and that content is really meant to inform or engage. It's not necessarily content about, aren't we a great company? You know, we want to produce content that's going to draw people in, and then once they come to your website, they can see what you do. But telling people what you do is going to make them tune out if you do that first. So once they have content to play with, they can each say, you know, it's sort of like they have a menu to choose from. Oh, well, I like this blog post that we did about, you know, how investment sales are really hot in the suburbs right now. So I'm going to take that blog post and send it to a few contacts who may be looking for three-family apartment buildings. You know, so it gives them a reason to reach out beyond the cold call. It can also be, you know, using LinkedIn as a way to just update people about, you know, trends in the market. You know, lots of real estate companies issue those quarterly reports with their research data, and that can be a little bit of a commodity. It's sort of like a race to the end of the quarter. Who can get their report out more quickly typically gets the media coverage. But if you can break it out into chunks and really make it digestible for people and make it social content, content that people want to share, it can be very effective through LinkedIn. People don't want to share a 50-page white paper or quarterly report. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, you know, I'm not even sure what a white paper is anyhow. Lisa, it's true. You know, people say, well, I got this white paper. I immediately go, it's blank to me. I don't want to see it. But Lisa, let's assume for the moment that you have a client that's got 500, 600, 700 brokers. And everybody's going, social media, I know we're supposed to do it, but we don't know how to do it. I've got to imagine the first thing that you've got to do, if this is your job, is to somehow or another get as many of the companies, the clients' employees, or the right ones, to participate in social media. And they either have to create the content or you're going to have to give it to them. And that's the expansion mode. And all of a sudden, the contraction mode is, how do you rein them in and not go crazy on you? How do you deal with that?
Well, let's back up, because you mentioned specifically brokers, and a lot of the brokers are not employees. They're actually independent contractors. So many of them are able to develop their own social media program because that's how their employment agreement reads. They're not an actual employee. So I'm going to differentiate between the two different types of structures, because that depends on how the company approaches its social media program. First, the company management, for example, needs to sit down and decide what they want to get out of their social media program. Because if they're brokers, we work with a residential brokerage house, and they had a team full of what I would call star brokers that were very active in social media. I mean, totally out there doing some things that they probably shouldn't have been doing, because it fell outside of the realm of what the company management actually felt comfortable with. But none of the guidelines had been put in place. So step one is to decide how they want their social media to be done. What are the parameters? What are the guidelines? If it's a residential broker, do they really want him popping out of the shower in a video for an open house? I'm thinking maybe that's a no.
Well, the shower works.
Well, he's a good-looking guy. I'm in, you know. There you go. So you need to figure out what the parameters are and how far can you go. Because if they're not employees, then there's not a whole lot you can do unless it's in writing and it's explained. Once that step is taken, which is a big step, because then you got to get everybody on the same page, and typically the management team may not have an in-depth understanding of social media and how it should be used, then you got to delve down into number two and say, how do we define what we want to see about our company in terms of intellectual content? What are the guidelines for that? So once you designed the train, so to speak, then you get to go back and paint it. And I think that's a critical step that a lot of companies overlook, because they think they're just going to go out and put together a bunch of tweets and send them out.
This is so hard to get across to people, and I say that just based upon my own experience. Not trying to get that out, but just trying to understand it myself. This has been a process for me over the last 3 years to better understand these concepts. How do you communicate these concepts effectively to your clients? Let me start out with, I'm losing track of who spoke last. I know it was Lisa who spoke last. So why don't we go to Tina? I spun the dial.
Sure. You know, we have, you know, elaborate training programs for rank and file employees. If the larger strategy means that they want, you know, all hands on deck to help spread their message socially, You know, I think that when it comes down to it, though, I guess a good rule of thumb is that people should not be sort of forced to be on social media. It has to be comfortable. It has to feel native to them. Certain people are more comfortable in certain channels. So you just kind of have to feel what's right for you and go with it. You know, some people are still viewing LinkedIn only as a human resources sort of network, you know, if you're looking for a job or something, and it's really much more than that. It's evolved a lot. It's even becoming more of a business news site. You know, people who matter spend a lot of time on LinkedIn. So, I think it just really depends. We have lots of CEOs who clearly do not have time to tweet. They should not be spending their time on Twitter. But, you know, we work with some venture capital firms and some hot tech startups, and for those CEOs, that's a big part of sort of their own personal brand. So it just has to match. You know, you need to figure out what the personality is of the company and the individuals and so forth and make it work. But for the most part, it's about putting together a cohesive social strategy for the company and then for, you know, drilling down and bringing people along closer to the rank and file.
Well, now we need to hear from the let's try that again. This is the intro because the people who pay the bills around here need me to say this right. Now, for a few words from the good people who pay the bills around here.
Do more business with your biggest clients. Techniques Marketing has perfected exciting new ways to increase your revenue with all your key accounts, way beyond trial and error. And we've done it with some of the biggest companies in America. Look, if you're happy with your numbers, great. If not, let's talk. Visit TechniquesMarketing.com. TECH, that's the tech. NIQUES, there you've got the Neeks. TechniquesMarketing.com. The Institute of Real Estate Management believes good management matters and that well-managed properties pay big dividends. IREM delivers the power of knowledge and recognizes the importance of sharing it. IREM serves real estate professionals who manage all property types. They're dedicated to delivering cutting-edge networking and educational opportunities for every stage of your career. How can IREM help you? To count the ways, log on to IREM Orange County. That's IREMOC.org. Learn more today. For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio or via email to questions@CREradio.com.
Welcome back to CRE Radio, and we are talking about how to hire a PR firm for a commercial real estate company. If I may, I just want to step back a second. And there is so much that we have spoken about, and you've raised so many questions in my head that there's just no way that we're going to be able to fit this all into one show of where we want to go. So maybe next quarter we'll go back and fill in the gaps. But I'd also like to invite the three of you to make comments on the website for those things that we've left out. So this will be a continuing conversation. And I'd also like to summarize a point about content creation. And this is one of the things that I think most people don't even know. A PR firm doesn't just mouth words, but they'll help you create the content. And trust me, as a content creator, this is not easy. I mean, even for our own site, we try to bring in other people to create content, and not everybody can pass muster. And you can't just hire a college kid to do it. So, in any event, so let's move on to another topic. What is the difference between public relations and advertising, and let me throw in the marketing? Susan, why don't you help me out with this?
I think it, and this is the funny answer, so it, marketing PR can be the same thing and often overlap in many different areas. Advertising is when you go to either a website or you open up a magazine and there's an ad there or there's a banner across the top. That means I paid for that space and I have complete control over everything in that space. So I can say whatever I want about my company, about my product, about what I'm, about the space I'm leasing. Marketing, you have some of that control. It includes a brochure. Marketing to some of our clients means not only a brochure, but it's also email. It's also their website. They look at it that way. And that's where there's an overlap with public relations. Those are marketing and PR, very large umbrellas and often the same umbrella. For media relations specifically, what we do and what we've done for a couple of developers here in the Midwest is send out information about the company along with if there's an event that recently we had a big media event, and invited the media there. And for PR, our job there is to tell the journalists, this is what's going on. This is what you have to share with your readers and your listeners and your viewers. That they take then and report on it. And that is where you want to be sure that everyone is buttoned up and saying the same thing and the messages from the company are coming across from the spokespeople from the company. Because that's it, when you read the news, that's a reporter saying, here's my take on what's going on. And that is how it differs from ads, because I don't have control, nor does the client, in a journalistic sense. The front of the New York Times, you don't get to preview the article ahead of time. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
That's an excellent definition of the two. I would boil it down even further to say that the difference between public relations and advertising is one is earned and one is paid. You know, the paid piece is obvious with advertising, but you really have to work for it. For PR, nothing is guaranteed. I think that's one of the biggest areas where we have to educate our clients up front, is to say, you know, just because you're saying it doesn't mean it's going to appear that way. I mean, you know, media relationships matter, and there's a lot of other, work that goes into things behind the scenes to try to make it come out the right way, but there really never is a guarantee. And not only that it will come out the right way, but that it will come out at all. And again, that's why you want to make sure you have a good PR firm so that they do have success in getting it out there, because they are earning it. It is not guaranteed, even, you know. You could pay a fair amount of money for a PR retainer, and if it's not the right firm for you, you might not get the results you expect. So it is very different from advertising. So you might ask, well, why wouldn't I just advertise then? It's all going to appear the way I want it, and it's all guaranteed, and there's no issue. Well, there's tremendous value in the earned media piece because it's considered third-party validation. So it's not, you should buy my product just because I say I'm great. It's that the New York Times says your product is great. That carries a different weight, and that's why it's such hard work to break through and to get them to cover you.
What about
I'd add to that.
Go ahead. Is this Lisa?
No, Susan. I was going to say, I'd add to that, when you can get on the front page or a section of a newspaper, or so we jokingly call it the top of the fold of your computer screen, so you don't scroll down. You can't advertise on the front page of most publications, or it's very small. And that's what people see. And that's why they always say it's above the fold, because that's where my eye is going to look. If you get a good story placed there, you literally cannot buy that space for advertising.
What about the pay for play concept, where you're actually paying for advertising, but it's in the form of reporting? It, you know, there's great effort to make it look like reporting. Do you see much of that going on?
More and more. And here's what it's changing in our industry, and I can give you a perfect example. The brokerage industry is keen on announcing new hires, new teams that come on board, and the business journals have now gone pay-per-play for their people section. So when a client comes to me and they say, oh, well, we just had John Jones from blah, blah, blah join our company, and we really want to make sure it gets in the business journal, I have to go back to them and say, you need to make sure that you allocate dollars for that. We can control the content, so we get the messaging in there, and we can control the photo and the whole bit, but you need to pay for it. So there's now a supplemental budget item beyond just what we do in terms of the outreach to the national trade. So it's creeping into the overall marketing campaign and the marketing budget, but it can be handled from a public relations point of view.
I think that it affects credibility of the publication. And I have to be careful when I talk about it, but because one of the things is when we go to various conferences and we ask to do interviews with people, often we get this question, well, how much do we have to pay for it? You know, and we go, well, nothing. You know, the idea is that this is informative, it's news, etc. But and we insist upon it to maintain our credibility. Can this affect the credibility of the client also? Who would Lisa?
Yeah,
why don't you?
Oh, go ahead.
No. Who was that?
Tina, I'm good.
Yeah.
all right. Well, so just a couple things. Yes, I mean it certainly can affect the reputation of a news brand, or it can, you know, change the perception of it. I was in New York not too long ago, and I was talking to people from Time Life, and they are doing an enormous push into what they call sponsored content. It's also called native advertising. In the old days, when you got a hard copy of Time magazine, you would see something that might have looked like an advertorial, maybe for a winter vacation destination, but it would be clearly labeled at the top. And typically that would be near articles about travel. People seem to understand what that was, but now that we're in a new digital age, people are having a harder time understanding what's paid content and what's unpaid. And so major news conglomerates like Time Life are really trying to figure out, okay, we got to get into this game because they're losing advertising everywhere else and they're looking to make money. And there are lots of big brands who want to be in those publications. So they're trying to come up with the right model. They're doing it already, but it's all being sort of fine-tuned as they go. They're not the only ones, of course. And, Atlantic Monthly's blog, Atlantic Cities, has whole sections that are sponsored by corporations. So, it raises the question, is it different from traditional advertising models? You can go to BuzzFeed, which is a news site that is more popular than the NewYorkTimes.com, getting more than 50 million unique visitors a month, and they have native advertising content plays. So you might say, well, what the heck does that mean? It basically means that GE or Chrysler are going in and writing articles. And it'll say, sponsored by, but it won't be about GE. It might be about, a series on innovation, for example. The world is just changing so rapidly. So it is a question for the news outlets and how people perceive them. It's also a question for the brands themselves. Are they trying to be a little too cute? But some of these plays are outrageously expensive. It costs like $100,000 as a starting point to get onto BuzzFeed. But you can see, that there's a lot of eyeballs there, especially if you're trying to reach a younger demographic.
Okay. Well. We'll return with more from Tina Cassidy, Lisa Hoyt, and Susan Evans right after these messages.
If you're a retail tenant, you really should belong to the NRTA. They're an organization of the tenants, by the tenants, and for the tenants. Whether you manage a large portfolio or just a mom and pop, the National Retail Tenants Association is on your side. NRTA exists to protect retail tenants everywhere and to make sure landlord billings are correct. Don't wait for your next statement of CAM charges to arrive. Log on to retailtenants.org. That's retailtenants.org. Find out more today. What's next for commercial real estate and retail marketing? Pop-up retail, and it's here now. PopUpInsider.com is the premier online resource for owners to advertise and fill properties for temporary use. PopUpInsider.com is where merchants and brands shop for temporary locations. See for yourself. Go to PopUpInsider.com, create your own account, market your empty spaces, or view available locations for your business, all on one convenient site. PopUpInsider.com. For questions, feedback, or topics you'd like to hear about, you can reach us on our website. Click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CREradio, via email to questions@CREradio.com, or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue.
Welcome back. And we are here with Susan Evans, Lisa Hoyt, and Tina Cassidy. You know, I love the sponsors, but this is such a good conversation that I'm having difficulty getting everything in that I want to talk about. So I apologize, ladies, but we're skipping around a little bit. Here's a question that I really, really would like to ask, and I want to make sure that we get it in. What questions should a PR firm ask of the client? Lisa, why don't we start with you?
One of the number one things that's critical to us after we get through the initial conversation about why they want to look at this type of service and what their goals are is how the company is set up, who's going to be involved in the infrastructure on getting information back and forth from us, and who's going to be the point person. There's typically a couple of setups. Some work better than others. Some firms have an internal contact that we will work through and they become our gatekeeper. Other firms have a direct contact for us on the C-suite so that we have direct access to those who are making decisions and providing the intellectual content. And still other firms have regional representatives that we may work through. The reason that's critical is because it tells us how the information flow is going to go, and then we need to be able to respond appropriately with the right resources.
Susan?
There are a couple of questions that we ask of clients, and it is because when they'll come to us, especially in commercial real estate and development, it's we want to be on X website or we want to be in X paper, and we say, that's great. Tell me what the headline was 4 days ago in that paper. And no one can remember because that was 4 days ago. So we say, okay, we get that for you. That's your success. What does success look like 4 days after that? How are we incorporating this? And that goes to Lisa's point of what's the process? Where are the lines of communication? Because we can take a success and say, let's get this back into the company so the brokers can get it out because not everyone sees the same website. So we say, here's how we can incorporate success into the sales process to get this out so we can help with their business strategy. And then second question, these are not in order, are what are the business goals? Sometimes what they're looking for, and we have done this in the past, we've said, you know what, you need to advertise. This is what makes the most sense for you. We are happy to help you find somebody, or we'll say, you need a larger marketing public relations campaign for this. This is what it would look like. And then, actually, I'm going to dump a third thing in here. We also talk about the resources of the company. We have had some wonderful clients say, we want all of this, but we'd like to handle half of it in-house because they don't understand, and I think Tina had said this earlier, that this is, there's a lot of minutia and a lot of work that goes into earned media, and people think it's easy. I pick up the phone, I had a great idea, so I got a placement in the paper, or I'll just write this article, I'll do it over lunch. And it's like, it is actually harder to do than that. And so we want to make sure the resources within the company are true to what the project is if they want to take some of it in-house. And then we also want to make sure that if there is success, are they ready for it? Because there was a long time ago, we had a client who had wonderful success and was having a hard time keeping up with it. And so we want to be, that's why we start to partner with the client to say, let's be smart about this. Let's, you know, can you handle the growth? Can you handle this internally? If not, we will do it just to make sure it all works well, and they know how to incorporate, how to be nimble if we need to shift a strategy, and then how to incorporate successes to make the most of it so they can achieve their goals.
Tina, what are the questions that a client should be asking you?
How much will this cost? I mean, you just mentioned it a little bit, making sure the company has the right resources and that they're ready for it and all of that. But I feel like, you know, sometimes they might say, I only have X amount of dollars. I mean, there may be, you know, sometimes what we do is we will back into a program based on the budget that is available. But we sort of have to have a conversation about your goals, your challenges, your opportunities, your goals, what the program could look like to meet all of that. But if you don't have the budget to handle all of that, then you have to sort of take another stab at it and say, okay, at this budget, what can we accomplish and feel really good at? I mean, typically, you know, budgets are just buying for man hours. And so, you know, if you only have $5,000, how far is that going to go? Is it really going to accrue to anything meaningful? You know, so that's always an important conversation to have.
Tina, for a moment, I'd like to jump back to the issue of PR versus advertising. I've got stuck in my head that the idea of PR is much broader and that it's a deeper, longer-lasting concept than advertising. Am I wrong in that idea?
Well, I'm not entirely sure I know where you're going with this, but I can say that, you know, some ads may only run once or twice. I mean, so, you know, think about companies that just do a Super Bowl ad. It's one and done, right? I mean, sometimes, you know, PR can be something that's a little bit more nuanced and changes with the company over time, and people might not even notice, as opposed to, you know, iconic Coke commercials that sort of define a generation. So, you know, I guess PR campaigns can be around a singular issue. They can, you know, exist to support a company's lifespan. You know, we do PR campaigns to support a, you know, development cycle, which can be 20 years. You know, so I guess it just really depends on what the issue is or what the need is.
Well, Lisa, let me ask you this question. If you represent a company and they want to get out the idea of really why they are in the business and what they're about, we both know a brokerage company that is truly about the brokers. Isn't that a concept that is developed over time and is not something that you advertise versus PR?
Well, I'm not quite sure I understand the question, but I'm going to take a stab at it.
I didn't do a very good job at that, did I?
Well, I think actually there were several questions in there. How's that? Okay, but let me address the overall arching issue. If you're working with a commercial brokerage firm and they think that they're all about the brokers, okay, that's a very broad statement. So if we're looking at how to develop a campaign, what are the differentiators? What makes them all about the brokers? Because I can go to any firm in the world and they're going to tell me we're all about the brokers. So what makes them different? And then that becomes the basis for whatever campaign that we may support, because the goal then part of that dovetails into what are their goals? If they're all about the brokers, are they wanting to recruit more? Are they wanting to make sure the brokers they have stay loyal to that company? Because brokers are again, independent contractors, so they don't have to stay with that brokerage company. So what's the goal of the program? Then we back into it so that we're reaching their goal. We're not just creating a program about being all about the brokers, because that in itself is not a news peg. Nobody cares. But if they want a recruitment program, maybe there's a promotional campaign. Maybe there's an award program. So there's a number of different things and components that play into that rather than just putting together a news release that John Jones joins the company. What's the goal and how can we help you get there?
Can you see me smiling right now? Because just the beginning of your answer was you weren't sure what the question was, but You gave me the exact answer I was looking for.
Well, I'm in PR. That's what we do.
That's right. That's the point. That's the point that I've been trying to make. What you do in PR, in many respects, is not very different from what I do as an attorney. It all starts in the beginning. I have experience. I've been doing this 38 years. You could come in and you could tell me anything, but I know the questions to ask, and I'm listening. Every word you say, I'm listening. And that's what you do, too, isn't it?
Well, you have to. In some ways, I think we're all cheap therapists.
I think that you're absolutely right. We're going to take a brief break, and then when we come back, we're going to start wrapping up the show. And I would like to ask, and then you could cogitate on this question. I'd like you to think about, of all the things we talked about, what's the most important thing, the one most important thing that each of you thinks that a listener should take away from this show?
Manage a shopping center? Always looking for new ideas? Tactics. Tactics Magazine is the idea magazine for shopping center marketing directors all over the world. Exciting promotions, gift with purchase programs, and full-blown ad campaigns. Every edition of Tactics is packed with features, ideas, and news you can use to get the word out and grow your numbers. How can you manage a shopping center without your tactics? Log on to tacticsmagazine.com. Today would be good. TacticsMagazine.com.
Attention commercial real estate brokers and professionals. Have you ever struggled to find the true ownership behind a commercial property? What about finding the phone number, email, and name of the actual decision maker? ProspectNow.com tracks this information on more than 10 million commercial and multifamily properties nationwide. Howard's listeners are invited to a 3-day free trial. Simply go to prospectnow.com and enter the promotion code Howard.
That's prospectnow.com.
For questions, feedback, or to suggest a topic, here's how to reach us. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @creradio or via email to questions@creradio.com.
And we are back talking with Tina Cassidy, Lisa Hoyt, and Susan Evans. And we're talking about public relations. And we're starting to now wrap up the show. So why don't we start with, let me spin my wheel here, Susan. Okay. I left you with the question before the break as to if there was one thing that the listeners should get from this program, the one important message, what would that be?
Well, it's a good question, and a very macro answer, just thinking about what everybody's been saying over the course of the program and then just sort of on our history with clients. And I think a real good PR firm is going to be a smart business partner that will help a company grow, meet business goals, and then also really help with the internal structure of your company with communications there. But I think overall, you get a real smart business partner that helps your company grow.
Great answer. Lisa, how about you?
Well, I'm going to dovetail on that because one of the things I think any company that's going to hire a PR firm or a marketing firm should be willing to do is invite us into the C-suite. Because if you relegate us to a lower level, mid-level internal contact, we can't perform as effectively. So be willing to make us your partner because that's the role that we function in.
Mm. And Tina.
Yeah, I guess I would just add onto that as well. Yes, you should consider your PR firm a great business partner, but perhaps the one important thing that didn't get said during this conversation was that you have to like your PR firm. You really have to like the people, because if they are a business partner, if they are invited into the C-suite, if you are breaking bread with them, if you are telling them all your secrets, you want to feel comfortable. You want to feel like, you know, like your PR firm is your confidant and your friend and someone who's going to tell you the truth. You know, it's a chemistry. There has to be a good chemistry check there.
And you have to feel that you're simpatico. You understand
Absolutely.
Each other. I think that's extremely important. We are in violent agreement. Violent agreement, ladies. So why don't we kind of wrap this up? Does anybody have any speaking engagements or appearances that you have coming up that you'd like to mention? Lisa, why don't we start with you?
I'm heading to Las Vegas to attend the Lee & Associates Summit next week, which is exciting.
Is it next week?
And ULI is coming up as well in November in Chicago.
Oh, my goodness. I'm going to the
Urban Land Institute National.
That's right. I'm going to the Lee & Associates. I'm not going to be going to ULI, but I am going to be going to the Lee & Associates Summit, so I'll see you there. They were kind enough to invite me. Tina, you've got anything coming up?
I've got some travel coming up, but not anything specific for real estate.
Oh.
Unfortunately, I'm heading to France for fun.
Oh,
that's about all I'm focused on right now.
Call me up and I'll tell you some places to go to. Actually, you should speak
Excellent.
To Mike because he was there recently, but Paris is probably my favorite place to visit. And yeah. Susan, what about you?
I just finished some speaking engagements for a franchising convention. But nothing coming up business-wise in the next few weeks, but have some fun travel things coming up, too. So I think Tina and I may be passing in airports. So.
All right.
Okay, we'll all wave to each other. Well, let's see. I've got I didn't realize it's actually next week. Oh, my goodness. Next week, I'm going to be at the Lee & Associates Summit in Las Vegas. And then in November, I'm going to be at the NAREIT Convention or Conference up in San Francisco. We have a couple of shows coming up. Actually, we've got a special show coming up in 2 weeks about the new SEC rules about crowdfunding. We've got a show coming up with Bo Barron, a show with Alan Buchanan from Lee & Associates. We also have another...
The summit's week after next.
Oh, you may got me nervous.
Sorry about that.
Okay, it's a week after next. Now I have a little bit more breathing room. And we have a special show coming up on November 1st with David Henry. He will be appearing as one of our icons of real estate. And this is not going to be a show about data and reports or anything like that. We're really going to be delving into the things that have inspired David to have the success that he's had as the CEO of Kimco. And I'm really looking forward to this, partly because he's such a nice guy. And it's going to be really lots of fun. So, ladies, I'd like to thank you very, very much for being part of this show. We're going to be following up with this show with a lot of blog articles to fill in the blanks of the things that we never got to. And at this point, thank you very much. And then we're going to
close.
Thank you.
And we're all right. Thank you, too.
And we're going to close the show right now.
Please listen again next time to CRE Radio with Howard Klein. Every live and recorded broadcast is accessible on your desktop, tablet, or smartphone at creradio.com or in iTunes. Just search for CRE Radio. Here's how to reach us with your questions, feedback, and show topics you'd like to hear about. On our website, click the comment button on any show page at creradio.com. On Twitter, send a reply to @CRE Radio. via email to questions@CREradio.com or call in during the live show at 619-393-6492 and press 1 to be placed in queue. CRE Radio broadcasts are presented on an informational basis only, with the intent of engaging, educating, and entertaining our listeners. Howard and his guests' conversations specifically do not offer legal advice. If you need legal advice, please consult your own attorney. Portions of the show may have been pre-recorded. Unauthorized editing or copying of the show without the express written consent of CRE Radio is strictly prohibited. All rights reserved.
And that's a wrap.